Well, for our special Thanksgiving show, I'm happy to welcome back a previous guest, Danny Finnegan. Welcome, Danny.
Thank you. Hey, Ms. Godmer, how are you?
Fine, thank you. Well, you know, we first heard about your adventures on this show, and we spoke about your adventures when you decided last year to walk across the United States to raise awareness for homelessness and to raise funds for a group that you were very proud of working for out in Portland, Oregon, named Join. And so many of our listeners have asked questions and have followed you on your road. They've asked questions how you've done, and we want to follow up with you and welcome you back.
Well, thank you for having me. That'd be great.
I heard some of your stories since you've returned. Tell everyone when your journey started and when it ended, and just the general parameters of your trip.
Sure, yeah. We started on March 1st of 2017. So we actually, I believe, spoke when we were camping out in Ohio. That was the last time we spoke.
Right.
And the trip took about 6.5 months. It was 200 days total. So it was 3,200 miles, a little around there. We crossed through 13 states. I went through 5 pairs of shoes. And, yeah, it's good to be back now, back home. We celebrated in San Francisco for a little bit. So.
Well, you know, horse racing fans are normally all about numbers. So you've given the numbers.
Sure.
You have the 13 states, 3,200 miles, 200 nights. You averaged about 20 miles per day. And I guess when you spoke last night, you spoke about how the beginning of the trip was somewhat easier because you knew enough people in the Northeast and had enough connections, and it was populated areas, and you wound up staying with friends and family, and possibly some people who knew you were coming. But finally, when you got to Pennsylvania, you had to embark upon for the first time, or most seriously, on the kindness of strangers, and you wound up in Pennsylvania. Tell us a little bit about that first night where you needed to yard camp.
Sure, yeah, that'd be great. So yard camping is a common practice for people who do trips like this, but needless to say, we were very nervous. In theory, it's simple. You just approach a house, knock on the door, and when the person answers, you explain who you are, what you're doing, and ask to pitch your tent in their yard for the night. And like I said, in theory, it's simple, but it requires an enormous amount of trust between strangers. And so for the first 3 weeks of the trip, we either had connections or we had, you know, state forests and state parks that we were able to camp in. And then our first night in Everett, Pennsylvania, which is a small town of maybe 2,000 people, we ended up knocking on someone's door, and sort of unexpectedly, we were welcome to stay in their backyard. And then when we talked with them for a few minutes, they said, well, you know, it's supposed to rain tonight. Why don't you stay in our garage? And then while we were talking with them some more in the garage, they said, well, you know, we actually have some extra food. Why don't you guys come join us for dinner? And we ended up spending a few hours with the family. We went out for ice cream. We really just connected as people and sat at their dining room table. And that eventually became our most common way of finding a place to stay. Is we would just approach people if we were at a gas station in town and say, hey, you know, we're walking across the country. Are you from town? Can we sleep in your yard for the night? And I said this last night, but in the entire duration of the trip, we only had 3 people ever say no, and they were
right.
Never hostile or mean. They were always welcoming.
All right. So you walked through a great swath of America. You walked through it. You took a route that was, you know, through the Midwest, and you chose a time in our country's history where there's a lot of polarizing events that took place between March and September. And I guess you found more commonality than you did differences. Is that correct to say?
Yeah, definitely. And even in the differences, like you said, it was kind of a tumultuous dividing time when we were doing this walk. And yet, you know, events would happen. We would be sitting with a family watching the news, and we might have different opinions, but you were able to talk to them. They were kind enough to welcome us into their homes, to feed us. We could find common ground in what we were talking about always. So that was really encouraging throughout the trip, was even the people that we might not have aligned with politically, religiously, whatever sort of ideology, we were always able to talk to them and relate to them.
I guess, and I'm putting words in your mouth, but I guess you told me that you found that many of the people who helped you out had either themselves at one point or certainly had known people at some point who had needed a hand or a boost or assistance to better their lives, and were sympathetic to your goal with Join, which is a group that tries to transition people from homelessness to permanent housing. I mean, is that safe to say that most people could at some point feel that they had that been in a similar or known someone in a similar situation?
I think they had encountered it. I wouldn't want to say necessarily that they had experienced it themselves. We had a fair amount of people who had, but more than anything, it was just, you know, of course I've seen people on the streets, even in these small towns. Like I said, Everett, Pennsylvania is less than 2,000 people, and yet homelessness exists there. And so everyone had encountered it, and beyond what their beliefs were, they always felt sympathy for it. And so when we talked about our experiences working in a shelter and what we were raising money for, it was always a conversation starter, and it was always a way to connect with people.
Right. So you literally put one foot in front of the other for 3,200 miles.
Yeah.
Of course, whenever you start with that, everybody thinks of where they're from. So we think of the problems in the Northeast, physical problems, logistical problems. But I guess once you get out west, you encounter two things, right? Deserts and mountains.
Yes.
And deserts of loneliness and mountains of taxing. Tell us the longest stretch you went without seeing civilization and how you managed to deal with food and water. And then tell us about the highest height you reached.
Sure, yeah. So we had two separate stretches where we were 110 miles in between food and water. One of which we found out on in the midst of that there was actually a random burger place 55
okay.
miles through. Yeah, and we were able to camp there and stay there. But the other one is actually the longest stretch of highway in the U.S. without services, and that's in Utah. So for that stretch, we contacted a group of volunteers who were in the initial town maybe when we were a week away and said, hey, we're going to be passing through town. We're going to be walking this stretch. Would you at some point be able to drop water off throughout that stretch for us, either while we're doing it or beforehand, and just kind of stash it for us, and we would pay you when we reach town? And A, they didn't accept our money, and B, they were happy to oblige. They left water for us every, I think it was 30 to 35 miles. So it was almost every day. So that was how we got through that initial stretch. And the other stretch, we weren't as fortunate in finding volunteers, but we were more than fortunate in just having people on the side of the road pull over and say, I got a cooler water in the trunk. Do you
wow.
need anything? Yeah.
So talk about trust. That's actually life sustaining fluids. You relied upon the kindness of strangers to either keep their word or to rise to the occasion.
Yes.
Now, I know you well, and we speak to you all the time. Your partner sometimes gets short shrift in our conversations, so give her a shout out and tell us a little bit about what were the range of topics you talked about going 3,200 miles and I guess what was the is there an argument that you had that's still unresolved as to that you couldn't reach common ground on even walking 3,200 miles?
There are a few. I could focus on one, which was that I, for whatever reason, never developed any blisters, really. I only had a few, which is amazing, and I was very fortunate. And Abby didn't. Abby had a fair amount of blisters, a fair amount of pain, especially the first month. And she was not happy with me that I was not willing to assist her in her pain. So that's still a little unresolved. But, yeah, Abby and I became friends while working at the shelter. Abby Baumgartz is her full name. She's from Minneapolis, Minnesota, St. Louis Park, Minnesota. And we both did the same volunteer program called the Jesuit Volunteer Corps. So we met while working at Join. And one day after work, Abby just told me about her long-held dream of walking across the United States. And I hopped on board. And I think that was December of 2015. And about 2 to 3 months later, we started planning it. And a year after that, we started.
Oh, that's great. Well, I mean, this is a racetrack show, so we'll ask whether or not you walked past any racetracks. I don't know if you have. We could have probably. The racetrack community is pretty tight-knit, and they're always willing to help. We probably could have if we had planned it in advance, we probably could have had some race trackers come out and assist you along the way and certainly give you places to stay, because the racetrack industry tends to be one that people move around from place to place. So it's not uncommon to request a place to stay and be obliged.
We didn't end up passing a track, I don't believe, but we did watch the Belmont Stakes when we were in Kansas with a family, which was great.
Excellent.
It was awesome. Yeah.
That has to be a racetrack tie. Well, the one thing I want to, again, we'll dig into statistics. Tell us, the highest point you reached was somewhere in Colorado, I believe. Is that?
It was actually in Nevada, so we crossed 12,000 feet in Colorado, and we then assumed that that would be our highest point. But we actually ended up reaching 13,000 feet in Nevada, a mountain called Wheeler Peak. Something that I didn't know, and I don't believe most people know, is that Nevada is actually the most mountainous state in the lower 48. And I, of course, found that out while walking across it, which is not a fun way to find that out.
Well, I guess it could be truly said that once you reach there, it was downhill all the way from there, I guess, right?
It was downhill to San Francisco, yeah.
Right. Now, to culminate the story, the great story is that you finally get to San Francisco, and your goal is to walk to the Pacific Ocean and dive head in. And when you get to San Francisco, there's a bit of a surprise for you, correct?
Yes. Yeah. Over 40 people waiting for us at the Golden Gate Bridge.
Including family and friends who flew out there to wait for you?
Family and friends who flew out from New York, friends who lived on the West Coast, who made the trip down. It was great. We ended up going out afterwards and celebrating, and went to a bar called Finnegan's Wake, which was very fitting. So it was a lot of fun.
Excellent. So, well, congratulations on a wonderful journey. Let's give out a bit of a shout out for people who may want to hear. I know people followed you, but again, it's Join, J-O-I-N, just like join the club in Portland, Oregon. And do they have a website, or do you have a website that you still have active?
Yes. So they have a website, which is just joinpdx.org. And then if you want to check out anything about our walk, or we actually still have an open fundraiser for Join, it's through walkacrossamerica2017.com. That's the name of the website.
Excellent. Well, Danny, I know you have many, many more stories to tell us, but on this Thanksgiving, I just wanted to we're thankful that you made the trip safely, and I know your parents are proud, and our listeners enjoyed hearing about your trip. And I guess when somebody gets annoyed with you and says, you know, take a long walk or go take a walk, you can respond that I already have, right?
So, yeah, I'm not going anywhere for a while now.
Well, Danny, I want to thank you so much, and enjoy Thanksgiving with your family back, and, you know, again, rest those feet, and the people here at Racetrackers are happy that you shared our story with us. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Mr. Goddard.
Danny Finnegan, everyone.